So I think it's really difficult to talk about the how, the strategies, the tactics. It gets very complicated in a city like Montreal. It's a metropolis. It has a lot of different people coming from a lot of different colonies for a couple hundred years. You also have many different native peoples that are continuing to self-determine their relationship and their struggle with the state. And also you have the black peoples that found their liberation from slavery when they made their way up here through the underground with Harriet Tubman, who's actually on the Canadian immigration page as a hero, interestingly enough. But so it's very complicated, and we are a very small collective. Not everyone is from Montreal, but many people are bringing their experience to the kind of work that we're trying to forge with our allies. And our allies are many here because there are many self-organizing communities in Montreal. It's a very rich culture of organizing. Filipinos, South Asians, blacks, Algerians, and so on. So I think just to kind of pinpoint, I guess, some of the tools and the privileges that I think we can use as weapons, because I do think we can use privileges as weapons, the educated amongst us and the white privilege that people have, the male privilege, all these kinds of privilege can be used in a way that it becomes a weapon and a tool for liberation for everyone. So I think these are the things that we are trying to do as we negotiate the terms amongst ourselves and with our allies. And as we start seeing what works and doesn't work, and I think another tool that we as anarchists are seeing have been very powerful is our skills and knowledge about how society operates, how oppression works, how repression also works psychologically and physically, and using those skills, the agitational skills, communication skills, mobilization. They've been very empowering for the people that we've been working with and for ourselves as well. When we can see the power of giving a group of 50 Algerian women to go break into Coderre's offices and demand a meeting with the Minister of Immigration and not leave until he comes, and to talk about their stories, for us is also very liberating. But of course for them it was galvanizing in terms of their ability to really confront this whole immigration system. I'm getting lost here in my notes. Because I think, so these are the kind of, I guess, the how. It's like just identifying what we have and what we can use to subvert what's going on in a way that's going to liberate more and more of the people that we're working with. And it has to do with a very concrete transference of knowledge and skills. It's fundamental. Even if you look in Argentina, what's going on right now after the crisis, it's a transference of skills from a middle class that had access to education and profession, and they're using it in a way to further the struggle of those that are still at the bottom. And I think that's the gauge of how well we're doing in a social struggle. Because if there's someone that will always be under you, then you know you're not doing something good and you're not doing it right, and it has to change. So it's about also keeping the perspective. The how, I think, is very important in keeping the perspective of it's an evolving tactics and strategies, continual questioning, and it's according to the situation, and it's politically, socially, and culturally determined around issues of self-defense and self-protection. About, you know, where the attacks are coming and how you're going to defend yourself. And it's about pride. And it's about building a pride in the people that aren't allowed to have pride. And it's about seeing how you can offer the pride that you know so that they can also feel their pride and they can take that step and fucking tell the people that they need to tell to get the fuck off their backs. And this is how I see sort of my implication as an anarchist is about emancipation, and I would like to offer my knowledge about how I feel I have been emancipated through my learnings with many different struggles, indigenous struggles mostly, but to offer it in a way that I can see that people start, what do you call that, pulling themselves up by the bootstraps themselves. And but in a way that they can see also that there are many traps on the way, because we're going to be co-opted, we're going to be bought out. There's a lot of people in the cast, you know, that they grumble about people that don't continue the struggle. And these are all, this is all the terrain that we will constantly have to deal with. As we are self-liberating, people are going to be bought out. People are going to betray, so-called betray. You're going to feel the pressure or cop out. And I think this is the base when we talk about ally work. This is the ally amongst ourselves and amongst those that are underneath. We have to be allies, you know, between each other. You know, the Francophones and the Anglophones. I think we grapple with that all the time. It's a constant thing in meetings and events. But it's also about accompanying the people that are self-organizing. And it's about supporting the act of collective action. So it necessarily implies collective decision-making. And so that everybody can fight for their rights. And it's about self-defense and self-liberation. I already said those things. So I guess I'm just going to end off by just one of the things I think Harsha mentioned also on the panel on Friday night, and I think that's one of my biggest lessons throughout my experience with social struggle, has been that at times we're going to lead, and at times we're going to need to understand and recognize that you have to cultivate a terrain that will allow the people to feel their power so that they can lead once again, those that are the underdog, this underclass. And it's going to be really difficult. It's going to be complex. It's real struggle, but that's where it's at.